How you guys doing tonight? Awesome. It's so good to be here. I'm extremely pumped to be able to hang out with you guys for a number of reasons. I've been able to visit with you, but this is the first time that it's been able to work out for me to be able to come and speak. And so when Rob gave me the opportunity, I was extremely excited to be able to do that. But even more excited when he told me the series, he said, Eric, do you ever watch The Walking Dead? I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, that's like my favorite show on TV. If you're here tonight and you don't like The Walking Dead, that's okay. You're still going to get a lot out of tonight's talk, even if you're not into The Walking Dead. But I feel like I'm kind of dedicated to it now. Like last night, our church staff, we had a costume party because we like to have a good time together. And I dressed up as a zombie. It was pretty awesome. I wish I had the photo. I'd bring it with you. Maybe I can. We'll put it on Facebook, and maybe you guys can see it. It's pretty incredible. But when Rob told me that the theme was you guys were talking about the walking dead, being dead to sin and alive in Christ, I began to pray and think about, hey, what can I share? And I thought back to a scene from the last season of The Walking Dead. There's a girl named Andrea, and she's having a conversation with Daryl. And if you are trying to catch up on the show, no spoilers of any sort are going to be coming right now. And she makes this statement. She says, no one can make it alone now. They had just went through all kinds of chaos, and she was reflecting on it. She said, we can't do this by ourselves. And what Daryl said is really what stuck in my mind. And he says, I never could. I never could. See, for Andrea, she had just come to the realization that they couldn't survive out there by themselves. But Daryl had this realization that he knew that he was not supposed to do life alone. And I think we're either a lot like Andrea or a lot like Daryl. A lot of us are like Andrea, that we haven't come to the realization that we need to do life with other people. That we think that we can just make it on our own, but instead, we'll have circumstances in our life to help us to realize that we can't do it by ourselves. Or maybe you're already like Daryl. Maybe you already recognize that in order for you to live the type of life that God's called you to live, that's not something that you can do by yourself. And so tonight what I want us to do is we're going to talk about a big idea. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them and turn to Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 3. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen with us. But here's the idea I want to give you tonight is the walking dead must not walk alone. We must walk together. I know right here at Next Level Church, one of the core values is we can't do life alone. And I wholeheartedly agree with that we can't do life alone. And I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. Some of you guys might not even consider yourself a Christian. You might have just been invited here. You might have been attending for a while, and you're still trying to figure it out. But even if you're in that place, you're in a great place to be able to learn and to discover about God's plan for your life. But for those of you that are followers of Christ, I hope that tonight what will happen is that you will see the absolute necessity of surrounding yourself with other people that can walk with you on your spiritual journey. And before we jump into this scripture, I want to pray for us, and then we'll jump right in. Galatians chapter 6. Father, we thank you for the privilege just to be able to be here tonight, to be able to look at your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We believe it's your word. We believe it's true. And we ask right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will change us from the inside out, that you'll help us to be people that realize that we cannot do life alone, that we must do life together if we're going to be all that you've called us to be. So I pray this, right, for Next Level Church. I pray that the people that are gathered here, that our hearts will be changed so that we can look more and more like Jesus to this world. We pray all this in his name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, brothers. Now, let me pause here. This includes the ladies, too, because this is the word for Adelphoi. It's brothers and sisters. It's the family of God. So Paul, who's writing this letter to this church, is talking to those that claim to be part of the body. So they're brothers and sisters. God is their father. So he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit. Watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Verse 2, it says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What I want to show you tonight is I want to answer a couple of questions. First, I want to just answer why. Why is it that we need other people in our life? Why is it that if we want to be people that walk in the way that God's called us to, why is it that we can't just fly solo? Now, before I jump into this, I need to have a confession. I am a recovering loner. I'm an only child, okay? So whatever stereotypes you want to think about that, go ahead and do that. If I'm selfish or all that, some of that's probably true. But the one thing I can tell you is that as an only child, I kind of was very self-dependent. And that didn't change as I've grown up. And over time, I've discovered the truth that we have to do life together, that I can't do life alone. And so when I read verses like this, they remind me that we must walk together. But why? What's the reason that Paul gives us in these verses? Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is, what's it say, caught in any wrongdoing. Now, this is what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you are out doing something and someone's like, ha-ha, I gotcha. That's not what it means. It's not like caught and you're like, oh, snap, they weren't supposed to see me. That's not what it means. It's a different idea. If I was in Gloucester, I wouldn't even ask this question, but since I'm not and I'm in Newport, no, so was, are anybody hunters here? Anybody? Okay, none of you, like two people. See, where I'm from, everybody would have raised their hand, and the only ones feeling awkward would have been those that didn't. So here it's the exact opposite. That's okay. That's cool. All right. So in hunting, sometimes there you will set a snare to be able to catch an animal, and if you do it right, they can't get out. And that if that sounds cruel to you, that's cool. Just ignore that. Okay. So that's more of the idea of what Paul has, is the idea of not just getting caught by someone, but being trapped in a wrongdoing. And it's kind of like, you know, your leg is stuck, and you're like, you're trying to get out. And no matter what you do, you just can't. And you're stuck. So Paul says, brothers, if anyone's caught in any wrongdoing, and this is what I know, every one of us at some point in our lives are going to get stuck. We're going to get caught. We're going to get caught in some kind of pattern that we want to break out of, that we don't want to do it anymore, but we find ourselves still doing that. Do you ever do that? You know that there's something you shouldn't be doing. You know something, maybe it's very clear that in God's Word it says, stay away from this, but for whatever reason, it's like, you know, you're getting pulled closer and closer to it, and you just can't seem to escape. That's the circumstance that Paul's talking about. He says, brothers, anybody is caught in any wrongdoing. And so as we look around this room, I know something about myself. I know something about each of you. Each and every one of us at some point are going to be caught. So that's the why. The why we have to walk together is because when we get caught, we're going to need other people to come alongside us to help us. And on the other side of it, we're going to need to help other people. In the Old Testament, the writer of Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better than one. Why? He says, because they have a good return for their labor. That means two people working together can get more done. Awesome. Verse 10, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls, and no one is there to help them up. Does anybody remember an old commercial? It was called Life Call. Anybody remember Life Call? If you didn't, it went like this. Help! I'm falling and I can't get up. Anybody remember that? Okay. Well, in this case, without Life Call, they're stuck. And they're like laying here until somebody comes to visit. How long have you been here? Like 5 days? I don't know. But, you know, in that they were trying to sell a product. Today, I'm not trying to sell a product. I'm just trying to talk about a reality that if you fall physically, yes, you're going to need somebody to help you up. But at the same time, if we fall spiritually, we're going to need people to help us up. It says, pity the one that falls and has no one to help them up, or if they don't have Life Call around their neck. Verse 11. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The writer of Ecclesiastes is just saying, hey, you can even if you're not a follower of Christ, you know this is true. We need other people. I mean, two is better than one. Three is even better. And so if you surround yourselves with the right people, they're going to help you in those times of need, especially when you struggle. So who is it that we should actually walk with? Who should be walking together? Well, guess what? The same verse is going to help us to answer that too. Galatians 6:1, we're going to keep going to the next part of this verse. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any wrongdoing, we're trapped. You who are spiritual should restore such a person. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that there's like different classes of Christians? You have like, you know, here's like slacker Christian, and here's like spiritual Christian, and then here's like super spiritual Christian? Is that what it's talking about? No. It's given a contrast between two things. It's given a contrast between those that walk in the flesh and those that walk in the spirit. It's a contrast between those that are choosing to live their lives and following Jesus and those that are not. Those that have been changed and have a relationship with God through Jesus and those that do not. So when he says those of you that are spiritual, he's talking to those of you that have the Spirit of God, those of you that are Christians. He's talking about a responsibility that we have. And I want to show you that. If you look just back in Galatians chapter 5, he explains this a little bit more. Context is everything. Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That's kind of what this series is about, right? Dying to sin, being alive to Christ. So they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is what it means. If you've ever wondered why before you were a Christian, you used to want to do certain things, but then when you become a Christian, you no longer want to do some of those same things that used to bring you joy, it's because your flesh has been crucified. It's because there's been a change that's happened within you. And so he says, hey, if the Spirit of God is within you and you've been in Christ Jesus, you belong to him, then what happens? Verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. So who's responsible for helping other people whenever they fall and they get trapped into sin? Each other. So that means within the church that the church is supposed to be a place that broken people can still help each other. That broken people can walk together. And a lot of people get this wrong. They somehow think that church is supposed to be this really pretty place with people that have it all together. It's not. The church is a jacked up place. I've been a follower of Christ since the age of 6, and I grew up in the church when I was in the womb. So like I've been in the church forever. And I tell you, the church has crazy people in it. And you guys are crazy. I don't even know you, but I know some of you are crazy. I know myself. I do. And I know that we're all going to need help, and we're all going to need to walk together, so it's all of our responsibility, and we're going to be on both sides of this. Sometimes we're going to be the people that are trapped, and we need other people to come and help us. And sometimes we need to be the people that are help pulling other people out of the trap. It goes both ways. Now you know what we're supposed to do. All right, let's go home. See you later. Wait. How? I mean, isn't that really what we want to know? Okay, how do we do that? Okay, it's one thing to know, guess what, we're all going to sin and we're all going to get trapped sometimes. And it's another thing to know that we're supposed to help one another, but sometimes we don't know how to help each other or we don't help each other in good ways. Sometimes we can hurt more than we help. And so I want to give you just some really practical things that we can do. Four things that will help us to know how to walk together on this spiritual journey and really help one another and really benefit one another, because that's what we want. That's what we want for one another, is that we become more and more like Jesus and we journey and become like him and we the things that used to trap us, the sins that we used to get caught in all the time, that we can break loose. I don't know, maybe some of you, even tonight, you can think of something, you'd say, God, I really wish I could have victory over this in my life. And one reason you might not have victory over it yet is because you've been trying to do it by yourself. Because you've been holding it in, and you think, I can do this. I don't need anybody else to help me. But the thing that God wants to say is, no, you do need other people, and you can't do this by yourself. So how are we going to help each other, and ultimately, how do we help ourselves? I want to give you four things that come right out of this text, these three verses. So how do we walk together and help each other journey along in faith? Number one, walk with gentleness. Walk with gentleness. Galatians 6:1. We're still not finished with the first verse. We will be soon. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, those of you that have the Spirit of God, believers, you should restore such a person, what's it say? With a gentle spirit. You should restore such a person by screaming at them, you are stupid! It's not what it says. You should kick them in the face and say, you're a loser. Now, here's the truth. We probably don't do that, at least in people's face. We do that behind their back, right? But that's not what this passage says. If you remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Gentleness, right? So we restore one another with a gentle spirit. I'll help you out with this. My daughter, Laura, who is here, she's here with me tonight. I was teaching her to ride her bicycle, and either I'm a bad teacher or she's just learning, and she crashed, and skin went off her knee, and it was bloody. Well, it got all better, and the scab was there, and then we were playing kickball, and we did something, and it, like, ripped off her leg. You know, that's not very pleasant. Well, blood's, like, pouring down her leg, and she's like, Dad, help me! You know, so we're, you know, I'm carrying her in, and it's, like, running like this into the house. Everything's dramatic. By the way, I have three daughters, so everything is dramatic in my house. So we run in, and I sit her down, and I come back, and I have all this stuff to help, you know, take care of her knee, and she's like, no, don't touch it. And I'm like, baby, I have to touch it. She's like, don't. And I'm like, I've got to. And I said, and she said, but please be gentle. And I looked at her and I said, Laura, I'm going to be gentle, but it's still going to hurt. And isn't that true? That when we get caught in sin, even if we're gentle, it's still going to hurt. And even we try to help other people, it's still going to hurt because the consequences of our sin, there's, you know, that's the funny thing about sin. That's the funny thing about Satan. We should punch him in the throat if we could. Because he's a liar. And what he tells us is that sin is going to be fun, it's always going to be good, and we keep getting trapped. What he doesn't let us know is that there's always a consequence for our sin, that there's always pain that comes as a result of sin and brokenness. As you look at your life, as I look at my life, all of our lives are broken because of sin. And so, even if we're gentle, it's still going to hurt. It's still going to hurt. So what does it mean whenever we're gentle? It means that when we come to people and we see other people trapped, that we're not there to beat them down, because most of the time people already know what they've done wrong. Isn't that true for you? When you've already messed up, you kind of already know that, and you don't need someone being like, I told you. What you need is someone that comes alongside and they're able to speak truth to you and to do it in a way that helps to restore you. Because ultimately, isn't that the goal? Isn't that what this verse says? Is to restore the person, to bring people back to fellowship. It's not so people will run away. It's not so people will move further away from God. It's so that people will be restored back closer to God. So if we're going to walk together, we've got to be gentle. Here's the second thing. Is we have to walk with watchfulness. Now what this means is not that you walk around like, who's sinning today? You. That's not what it's like. Instead, it's watchfulness that's like, if you could pretend that this is a mirror. You're looking at your own self. You're looking at your own self. Galatians 6:1, we're going to finish up this verse. Brothers, if someone's caught in any wrongdoing, trapped, you who are spiritual, led by the Spirit, should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. See, this is the problem, is sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be so focused on helping other people that we forget that we need to focus on our own selves so that we don't fall into the very same patterns. Jesus saved some of his most harsh words for people that did this. People that were very keen on watching other people but did not keep a close self-watch. This is what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your own eye. Hypocrite! First take the log out of your eye, and then you will clearly see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This would be kind of ridiculous. It's like someone walking up to you, and they're like, I noticed that you have something in your eye. And you're thinking, dude, I'm noticed you have like something huge in yours. You know what I mean? That's what you're thinking. We laugh at that, but the truth is we do this a lot of times. We can have such gaping gaps in our spiritual walk, yet we want to look at the smallest little thing in other people's lives. And so if we're going to walk together, the thing we have to do is you have to keep a mirror to ourselves. James says that God's Word is like a mirror to our lives, and that we look at that mirror in our lives, it reveals things to us. Like yesterday, I told you I was dressed up like a zombie. When I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, I still looked like one, even though I tried to get the makeup off. My eyes were like dark all under here. Now, what would have happened if I just chose to just leave that on there and go to church? People would have been like, man, Pastor Eric, did you sleep last night? What happened to you? But I looked at it, and I said, my face looks jacked up. I'm going to clean it off. But I wonder how often we actually take time to put the mirror of God's Word up to our lives. When's the last time that you've just, in a quiet moment, just stopped and it in the sincerity of your heart, just said, God, will you just show me what is it in my life that you want to change? Is there something that's happening in my life that, is there a pattern that you just want to break? Would you, what is it, God? When's the last time that you find yourself doing that? And if you haven't done it recently, maybe that's even the step you need to take is tonight you go home and after you watch The Walking Dead at 9 o'clock or before, because this is actually a lot more important, that you sit down and say, God, show me what it is that you want to change about me. Because unless we're people that are constantly coming before God and watching ourselves, we're not ever going to be able to help other people that get trapped. And so we have to watch and look at our own lives. Number three, so we walk first by in gentleness, we walk with watchfulness, and third, we walk with love. Galatians 6:2 says this. It says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? It's very simply this. The law of Christ is to love one another just as Jesus loved us. I want to show you that from Jesus' own words, that's what this is referring to. John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. Jesus speaking, he says, this is my command. This is my law. This is what I'm calling you to do. Love one another as I have loved you. I want to pause right here. How did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us while we were messed up, fallen in sin, running away from him. Jesus loved us when we were the most unlovely of people. Jesus loved us when sometimes we didn't even, it's just, we were in bad shape. Verse 13, Jesus says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The simple truth is how did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us so deeply and so desperately that he laid down his life for us. That he took our sin upon himself and he went to the cross and he died and he rose again. And he did that for people not that were his friends, but the scripture says in Romans 5 that it was people that were his enemies. You and I were the enemies of God, yet he chose to come and lay down his life for us. So how does that work when we have that same type of love flowing within us? It means that we're willing to do whatever it takes to help other people to move closer to God. It means that when you see people in your life that they don't even know Christ, that you're willing to do whatever it takes to help them to become unstuck from sin itself. You want to see people move from being slaves to sin to being freed in Christ. You'll do whatever it takes. You'll go to whatever length it takes to do that. And then when you look within the church and you see other people and they're trapped and they want to make a change, they don't know how, you'll do whatever it takes. Now, I'll tell you a story about what this looked like for me recently. There was someone that they began coming to our church and they gave their life to Christ. And up to this point in their life, they had lost their kids. Because of drug use and a lot of other things. And we had some people within our church that took them in, and over the next 9 months just saw all kinds of change and restoration and things happening. Well, they ended up moving out, and it was not long after that one Sunday morning after church, someone came up and they told me, they said, "Hey, so-and-so is out in the parking lot, and man, they look like they're high as a kite. And they just look rough, and there's somebody else with them. They all look like they're on drugs. What do you want to do?" And I mean, I'll be honest. At this point, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to be like, "Well, let's just go love them like Jesus," right? And honestly, I was kind of mad. I was a little frustrated. I was like, "Are you kidding me? What happened?" And then, all of a sudden, you know, God gives you a good. You ever get a butt kick from God? You know, it's the one where he's like, "Sure glad I didn't treat you like that." And I was like, "You know, God, you're so right." And so myself, my wife, some other people went out there and just greeted them. And you know, I just believe it was the spirit within us that was able to love them and say, "Okay, hey, what can we do to help you? You know, what can we do to help you to get back on track, to begin following what God wants for you?" And you know, that story is so fresh because they came out of rehab, and I got to see them today at church, and they were there again. And I just thought to myself, this is what love does. Love keeps bearing with people. Love keeps pursuing after people even whenever they've run away. Isn't that the kind of love that God has for me and you? Isn't that the kind of way that we can walk with one another? Instead of being frustrated with each other, instead of wanting to cast one another off, we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to stick with this person. I'm going to stick with them no matter what." One more verse, 1 John 3:16. It says, "This is how we have come to know love, that he laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers." It's very simply this: God's love has been demonstrated to us through Jesus Christ. And when that love has entered into your heart, you want to respond by loving God and loving other people. And that's what happens when we start to walk together. Jesus said that people are going to know we're his disciples because we wear t-shirts that tell them that. Wait. And actually, I'm not against Christian t-shirts. I mean, some people are. I think they're cool. You know, that's fine and everything. But that's not the way. We shouldn't have to always just say, "Hey, by the way, I'm a Christian. Just want to let you know." I mean, if people ask, I think we should say, "Yeah, love Jesus. Jesus is incredible." But people should just be able to know that there's something different about us. That there's love is how people are going to know that we're his disciples and we're walking in love. And they're like, "Man, they are sticking with those people no matter what." That's what the church is meant to do. Final point: how do we walk together? So we're walking in gentleness. We're walking by keeping watchfulness for ourselves. We're walking in love. And here's the last one: is we walk in humility. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Just in case we ever forgot, Paul wanted the church in Galatia and he wanted us to remember something. It's not about you. You're really not that big of a deal. I'm really not that big of a deal. Now, I know that kind of goes against. We want to tell each other we're a big deal. Now, I believe everything. I believe we're all made in the image of God. And in that way, we have value and worth. And so that's incredible. But what this is talking about is sometimes we start to value ourselves way too much. Or we start to think that we're like, that this isn't going to happen to us. We won't be like those people. And we start, anytime you say those people, you're in trouble, okay? Just, you've got something going on. You're like, yeah, those people are jacked up. No, it's you. But what happens if we walk in humility? When we walk in humility, we don't think ourselves greater than other people. 1 Peter 5:5 says this. All of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward who? One another. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. And here's why. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is God's promise that he makes to us. If you are proud, I will humble you. That is not a promise that I want God to keep in my life. Instead, this verse, it says, so therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time he will exalt you at the proper moment. So the idea is, if you bring yourself up, God will put things in your life that will bring you down. Allow that to happen. At the same time, when you humble yourselves at the right time and in the right way, God will raise you up. Because God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have grace. Wouldn't you? If God's given out something, I want him to give grace. I want to close with this verse. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, it begins to tell us about Jesus and who he was. This is what it says. It says, he never sinned. Just let that sink in for a moment. Jesus himself never got stuck. Now, Jesus was tempted. The writer of Hebrews tells us Jesus was tempted just like you and I were. Jesus saw some, Jesus saw some scantily clad women and he was tempted to lust, but he didn't do it. That's amazing. Jesus was tempted to lie, he didn't lie. He was tempted in every way we are without sin. It says he never sinned nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God who always judges fairly. Now I love this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Think about the contrast. He never sinned. Yet he carried our sins. The one who did no wrong willingly came and took our burden on himself. That's amazing. And he went to the cross so that we could be, what's it say? Dead to sin. Dead to sin's power. Dead to the penalty of sin. Dead to sin's authority in our life. Dead to the ultimate consequence of sin. The ultimate consequence of sin is being separated from God forever. And so Jesus went to the cross with our sins so that we could be dead to sin in all of its way and all of its capacity. And to live for what is right. See, there's a response. When he causes us to be dead to sin, he wants us to then walk in a new way of life and to live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Final verse. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. what Jesus did for us is what He also calls for us to do for other people. I don't want to leave this moment tonight, because the truth is, some of you might have walked in here and you might not have realized that sin was such a big deal. But it was such a big deal that the God of the universe chose to come down from heaven to live the life that we never lived, and to die the death that we deserve to die. He loved us that desperately with such an extravagant love that He was willing to take all that cost upon Himself. And the Scripture says that He was beaten and He was nailed to the cross and He died and they put Him in the grave. But then 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, showing He had victory and power over sin, showing that He was the only one that could give us victory and freedom over sin. He's the only one that can make us dead to sin and alive forever with Him. I just want to say, if you're here tonight and you've never had that life-changing experience with Christ, if you've never had that moment where there was this great exchange, where you gave Christ your sin and He gave you new life both now and forever, I just want to encourage you, do not leave this place tonight without doing business with God. If we could we just bow our heads just right here in this moment? Because I know how things work. I know you can get out of this place and 10,000 other things to start running in your mind. It's just very simple. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to do anything. All I'm saying here tonight, if you're here and you know that you need Christ to be made alive, the Scripture makes this great promise. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ died and that He rose again from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 tells us that truth. And so I just want to tell you, I want to give you that open invitation tonight. If you want to give your life to Christ, you could do that right now. After this service, I'll be waiting. If you want to talk to me, if you want to talk to one of the volunteers right here at Next Level, anybody would be happy to talk to you about your relationship with Christ. Just want to give you that invitation. For all of us that do know Christ, here's the challenge. How are you doing walking with other people? How are you doing walking with other people? Are you helping other people walk on their spiritual journey, and are you taking a serious look at your own spiritual journey? Because I know that's what Christ has for us. He helped us to die to sin so that we could walk in a new way of life. Let's just pray together tonight. Jesus, I'm asking right here in these final moments that we have together, that You'll do the work that only You can do. God, we believe that You are the one that came to save us. I pray for those that maybe for the very first time have realized their own need for You as Savior. I pray that they would just fall at Your feet and realize that You're a God of grace and mercy that wants to redeem them. And God, for those of us that know You, I pray that we would take serious the call and command to walk with one another, to help one another, to pursue righteousness, and to be all that You've called us to be. God, help us to take steps of faith. Help us to be a community of faith that reflects You and Your glory to the world that's watching. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, would you just stand up? Would you stand up right here today? If even while this song is playing, if you need somebody to talk to pray to, I'll be in the back. You can come hang out with me or after the service. But let's just worship together. Let's raise up our voices to Jesus, who's changed us.